can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Is it 25? Did we work that out? We did. And we've had a bit of a, it's like half time. We've had a bit of a pep talk out in the sheds. I've said to Don, and he's given me plenty of instruction as well. I said to Don, you must listen and let man finish the question before you give the answer. Oh, will you take so long to do it? I said, well, I'm just trying to explain when you said that up Beat or Sports Roundup or something was by three men. And I said, who are they? Speak about sport. And I said, who does? Well, the people who are on it. And I said, who's on it? I don't know. I turned it off. So this is where we're having a little trouble with communication. And Mick, we've had a bit of a pep talk about your bias. I'm biased. Mm-hmm. I'm biased. But your biased outlook to everything that is slanted to the left, I make it balanced and even by slanting
I thought
to the
you
right.
were biased.
What?
I thought you were biased.
I said biased, I make it even
no,
by bias slanting.
Doesn't sit
Don't
with balanced
answer
and
the
even.
Coach back. Listen, he's, take he's, it.
I know it's his show, but we're
yeah, but no, listen, he's giving us a pep talk. You sit no. and cop it. He's the coach, Captain Coach.
I said
John
we all...
John Kennedy, eh?
Well,
John Kennedy,
I learned.
Podcast,
you
is
just
he?
Sit down, listen
I
to him.
I said we all had a pep talk. I said you gave it to me, Don. You didn't like what I was saying to you out the back. RoboCop, and
I've never answered a coach back.
So
really, you sure?
Once,
Sam. Bill Ferg rang in. He said, "Just want to clear something up." He said,
"Never once." Yeah.
Bill Ferg rang in
again,
and he rang in. Someone in this room, I won't mention names, Rodlaw, he rang him and said, I didn't know you were selling porpoise at the Globster Cave. He said, who said that? He said, one of the people on the podcast. He said, was it Sam? I can't quite say if it was Sam. But he said, under no circumstances are we selling protected species at the Lobster Cave. We're not serving porpoise. So I got that wrong. I misspoke.
So is porpoise protected?
Selling Whoa. Dolphin.
Well, they're buying off the Japanese. I know they're whalers, aren't they?
But no, they take anything. Yeah, anything do. That catches
minky
in
whales.
So long as they can kill. Yep.
They caught a 1958 Buick in their net the other day, and Bill's carved that up, and we're eating rubber and camshafts and bloody springs and upholstery. And so he said, don't ever say I'm selling protected species.
Okay.
And that koala we had there was fantastic, though.
What is he selling? He's selling koala.
He put that on a beautiful roasted koala there. He does it with a bechamel sauce.
It's a fish place, not koala.
No, but
fish.
He specializes in koala. Have you ever eaten a koala's shiny nose?
Will you stop
saying beautiful, that shiny little nose.
Righto. The coach, you need a pep talk.
That's where Don got chlamydia.
At Bill's place.
Is that where I got it?
Well, Bill will be very nose. Pleased to hear this.
You're lucky he didn't eat his dick, because that would give him chlamydia. Hey, so anyhow.
Yes.
So,
I don't know whether that's good for Bill or not. But
of course it's good
for
Bill.
It's good for Bill.
You know what they say, don't you?
Any publicity. Yeah. Hey, something you do know something about is golf.
Yes, yes.
And you must... I'm of the view, layman's view,
yes,
ill-informed maybe. Cameron Smith is currently Australia's best golfer and will clearly be the best golfer in 18 months.
Right, I'll take that on advisement.
What's your view of him?
I've said I'm taking that on advisement. Well, a very good, young, up-and-coming man.
He's better than that. He's gone past Adam Scott's
a very good
soft under the hammer.
Ooh.
Or as you said before, what did you say?
Oh, offline. Oh, so we're mentioning what I said offline.
And I
think,
and I fear that Jason Day's day might be passed.
I see. So I get you. So Cameron Smith, I said, is a very good up and coming young man who has no. And I was about to finish, but you jumped in. I thought Don was going to jump in, but you've done it now.
Right.
He has no fear. The others fear. Actually, some of the shots they play,
particularly the putting for Adam.
Yes, particularly the putting. He has no fear. Jason, I think, has gone a bit, he's got a bit anal, hasn't he?
Whatever anal. I've never known what anal means.
Well, not quite what you think it means. It's not about bottom stuff.
Oh.
Not to do with your bottom. It's anal means you mean you're very pedantic and very particular.
Okay, so what's he anal about?
You know
about?
What anal means. What?
What is he anal about?
Well, I think he's become a bit anal about his health and
his back. Yeah,
that's correct. His back, and I think he has lost the. Enthusiasm. The drive to be as good as he could be.
So he's won too much. He's comfortable financially. Yes, would you say that? And so the hunger is no longer. He's not a hungry fighter.
Very nicely put, Don. I wish I'd been able to say that. And see, when you put your mind to it and are not waiting for me to finish speaking so you can just start, when you actually listen to what I'm saying, you're actually a tremendous contributor.
Well, you see, I listen to the halftime address.
So, Don.
Oh.
Before we get on to, I know you're going to bring it up, you've had 8 letters from Barney McCusker about that fucking train going up to Mount Gambier, and no one's interested except Barney and the 4 people on it, but we'll go through it because it's your topic. Mick, I'm telling you this now.
What?
The thing that keeps Britain alive... Well, no, this is my opinion, and I'm happy for you to disagree. I am happy for you to disagree. The thing that keeps
is
Britain...
Is royalty?
Absolutely. Yep. It is. She is the longest reigning monarch in the history of the world. Queen Elizabeth. And the Golden Greek, he's her husband.
He's 112, the Golden Greek.
So that's my point. And their whole economy... whether you like it or not, revolves around royalty. And what has happened is, and this is going to end in tears, Harry is as weak as piss. He's been taken over by a woman of colour.
A woman of colour?
A woman of colour.
If in fact that's true, why does it matter?
What do you mean if it's true? What, you don't think Meghan Markle's a woman of colour?
What?
Because... She has no interest in preserving the sanctity and the...
But what's her colour got to do with it?
Because she's taking him away into a foreign world and she is guiding him
Canada's a foreign world, is it?
She is taking him into a foreign world that he knows nothing about and he is guided by his dick. And he has been lassoed by that woman, by that... Absolutely, Mick. You watch. This will end in tears.
Well, let me ask you this.
This will end in tears.
Don, if you were Harry and you were...
lassoed by his He should name his dick. He should give his dick a name because most of its decisions are being made by someone who's anonymous.
Yes,
and
Michael.
I'll tell you what
yes, Michael. Michael.
Tell you what I'll
happen. Michael. Okay. Yes, Michael.
Right-o. I'll tell and you what'll
you're not listening to your halftime address, John.
Yes. It'll end in tears. They will divorce. It'll separate. It'll be a disaster.
Oh, God, here we go. Right. An expert.
And when's the Queen going to die then?
What's the time?
Yes.
I'm in favour of Harry and Meghan. If they want, if they think that their marriage is best suited by... dissociating themselves with royalty, so be it.
You honestly think Harry thinks that? She does.
I thought I was asked the question.
Yeah, he was asked the question.
I think it's an antiquated institution, the monarchy.
Yep.
Overrated.
Notwithstanding John's point about the importance of it.
Well, thinking on the way up here, I was thinking about it. I think that he has been used, Harry, by the rest of the royal family because he's the most personable of the lot. The Queen's own children, we hear of Prince Charles, we don't hear of Anne, Andrew. Oh, well, Andrew.
You've heard a bit about Andrew in the last couple of months.
And Edward. And the only one that's really out there is Harry.
And why is he out there?
Because he's personable.
No, because he's
very marketable. Royal family are using him.
He's not marketable. He cut that ginger beard off for a start. He looks like a droob.
Well, what do you look like in that hat you've got on, that cap? You look like a droop.
Yeah, I'm actually not spreading my wings and trying to take over the world with a Royal Sussex brand of clothing.
She's not trying to take over the world.
Well, she is trying to
Wants to have a close to normal lifestyle.
She is. Oh, Mick, please. Can you say that with a straight face? That is extraordinary. She wants a normal lifestyle.
Yeah?
She's married the fucking person. She's married at royalty. Yeah. Taken, disrupted the whole of the royal family. Said they're going to relocate.
How do you know she's done all that? We are not getting, unless you've got an inside to the royal family, we're not getting the story.
We are getting the story.
We are here presuming.
We're getting the story from the royal biographers and the people
Really? And
They're offsiders, are they? She might well be in a place that's foreign to you and me. She might be in love.
Yeah, well, I'm disputing the fact that this will last. I'm saying she is taking that man by the nose down a road he probably doesn't want to go, but he's awestruck. There's another word for that, starts with key, but it's awestruck. He's awestruck.
Casey. Yeah, Kentucky Fried Chicken, is it?
He's awestruck. And they're going to take, they've said they want to dissociate themselves from the royal family, but they're calling Sussex royalty, this is their brand or whatever. They're going to spread it and go join Obama in the film industry, and he has no idea what he's doing. He's as dumb as dog shit.
Who Harry is?
Yes.
That's a pretty good diagnosis from 12,000 miles
away. Probably got it from his mother.
What, the woman that's ruled Britain for 55 years?
No. Oh. Michael.
Who's his mother?
Oh, Michael. Oh, God. Jeez, you've got to be joking.
Is that Diana?
Single-handedly.
I'm not big on the royalty.
Single-handedly, the Queen has kept the royalty and that country together. And you might dispute that or just not like it.
No, I accept the economic imperative. Yeah. But
He gets 5% of his income from the public purse. He does not want that, and he gets 95% from his father. So if his father doesn't supply him, she will just lead him into a world he got no idea where.
I don't
he's
know
going.
How you're so cynical about.
Well, that's just my opinion. Hmm. Cynical as I am.
You are.
Mm.
What?
She absolutely. She is. She knew.
Why doesn't he speak this way?
I don't know. Well, why don't you speak?
No, it's better when he doesn't.
Well, she did know what she was getting into, and she is working the system beautifully. It is. You can just see it happening.
Let's wait and see.
Well, of course, Mick. That's what we'll have to do.
What function is he serving at the moment, anyway?
Can't we move on to something?
Part of waving and shaking hands with people and waving.
That's because you don't like shaking hands with people. You think that's overdone. He is part of the entourage that keeps the royal family at the foremost position in that country, which is the great hallmark of tourism.
Okay. Talking about entourage.
Yes.
Have either of you two watched the program called Succession on Fox?
Yes.
What do you think of it?
Well, it's about the Murdochs.
It appears to be.
It's about the Murdochs.
Right. Jesus, there's not much you don't know this morning, is there?
Well,
he's in a good mood too this morning.
Mick,
His biorhythms are high, Michael. Floating.
So, Mick.
You should run for Parliament. Might finally be a bloke that sort of knows everything and get everything right.
So, Mick, you said if I watch Succession, so I went into the backstory about how it was created. And they say that. They say that. The people who created it, although
they... Do they say that, do they?
Although they who can't are they? Name... There is no word Murdoch in the biography of it because they'll get sued. But they say it is... They go so close to saying it, there's no doubt that it's about the Murdochs.
You should watch it, Donald. Let's resume.
So you'll pay for Foxtel for me, will you?
Well, you could save that by going the routes and saving on e-tags.
And what about Power Without Glory was the same,
Power
wasn't
Without
it?
Glory?
Frank Hardy was written about John Wren, wasn't it? Or that alluded to being John Wren?
Do you know what Frank Hardy said? I always remember this, Don. Sometimes I think about
you. Sister Mary?
Sometimes I think about you when he says it. And this is one of his great quotes. He said, he was looking at someone and he said, he cocked his head to one side in a ridiculous endeavour to lend intelligence to a face that bore distinct signs of imbecility. Sometimes I think of you. And I
look at television reporters when they're doing an interview, and the best at that was Sandy Roberts.
Sandy Roberts?
Sandy Roberts. He'd cock his head to the side and he'd pierce his... That? Oh,
sorry.
You're talking... You're not listening to your instructions at half time.
No, go ahead, Don.
He reminds me of Sandy Roberts when he
Sandy
said that.
Sandy Roberts didn't know the difference between a dick and a cock. So...
No, well done. I like it. No, it's gone over their heads.
No, it hasn't. Took a little while, but I got it. I thought very quick, Michael.
Great man, Sandy.
Yes, he is. And he's dropped out of everything now, hasn't he? Not on Fox anymore, is he?
No, he's not on Fox.
He dropped out of everything.
No, he hasn't. The man who's taking over the world, the next Rupert Murdoch, by name of Craig Hutchison, he employs him.
Doing what?
At Croc Media.
No,
he's finished there too.
Well, that's because the season's over.
I think he's finished, Michael.
Oh, is he, Donald?
Mm.
Now, well, I'll take that as fact.
So this is where we are in society. Now have a listen to this. Don, this has been in the public tissues, in the ether out there. The Transit Rail Company, or whatever they're called, public transport system, they've now had to slow escalators down at train stations. They now have limited them to 20 seconds. The escalator, you know, the thing that people stand on to go up, because they've had 600 serious injuries from people falling off escalators, so they've now had to slow the escalators down at train stations. My simple question is to you, at what stage do we ask people to be responsible for their own stupidity and not penalise the rest of us when you cannot stand on an escalator and ride it to the top or bottom, whichever way you come down or go up on it? Why do we have to put up with people not being able to ride on an escalator? Because they are completely devoid of any sense.
That's probably why I fell off the escalator at Meyer in my younger day.
I see.
Devoid of sense.
Okay, so how did
I was constant. I was elsewhere engaged in a conversation. The escalator came and over I went.
My point exactly, Donald. If you could just concentrate on the 20-second ride on the 20 seconds.
But if you get engaged, as I was, in a conversation.
Did you go on with that girl?
I'm not like you, Michael.
Well, you were engaged in a conversation on the escalator,
yes.
So that's like not being able to walk and chew
I wasn't concentrating on what I was doing.
And what happened? Did you just
To the end. Have you ever tried it? Come to the end and whoop.
Over you go. 600 injuries there's been because people can't concentrate on standing on a moving platform, and we have to put up with it.
Maybe the escalator was also full and the people in front, you just don't know when that...
Well, how about using your analogy, instead of going on the freeway, why don't you go on the back? Why don't you climb up the stairs instead of going on
there
the escalator?
May not be
When's
stairs.
The last time you went to a train station?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever been to one.
No, I didn't. Well,
you should go
either.
For a ride
so
one day.
So what's the point? What's your point?
You're talking about escalators at train stations.
You know you can get
it's
a free...
It's in the paper that they've slowed the escalators down by 20 seconds because...
Where is it again?
The paper, it's in the media, they've slowed, there was an announcement, the public transport system said we are slowing the escalators down because people are incapable of riding them because they fall off. Wait for the next one.
Is that Melissa Horn, Minister for Public Transport? Is that her department?
Melissa Horn?
Yep, it's not, Don, but go ahead.
I'm asking the question.
The public transport system, which is a different body. Governmental body.
She wrote my mate Barney a letter.
Go on, Don. You're busting your ass.
Come
on, Don.
I'll spit the dummy.
No. Don.
Give him a microphone, will
Don,
you?
Don.
I'm getting sick of this.
RoboCop, read the letter out.
Dear Mr. McCusker.
Now, give us a bit of background to
how
this came.
Well, I thought you'd do a lead in and play that
Well, it's your segment. You say I do everything. You do something.
You know,
Go
I'm
on.
Doing the control panel now, Michael.
Go on.
Do you know he's doing the control panel? He's getting rid of Jack.
This will be the only.
This will be the only podcast. He'll do his own podcast.
One person, yeah.
He'll do his own podcast. He'll come in here every day and do a podcast by himself.
But who will he yell at then?
Smart-ass Sam, sign up here.
I'll tell you how to go. I can do it, the three of us. This is how it goes. Well, Don, welcome to the podcast. Yeah, well, what do you want? Get on with it. Mick, welcome to you, Mick. Yeah, well, I think climate changes. No, you haven't. Don, I could do it all on my own.
And you could give a song at the end. You wouldn't need Gloria Nightingale or wherever
her
name is.
Hey, kids, shake it loose together. The spotlight's hitting something that's bound to change the weather. We'll kill the fatted calf tonight, so stick around. This is Benny and the Jets. Do you want me to sing Benny and the Jets?
No.
I'll sing Benny and the Jets for you later.
No, you just said, do you want me to? I said no.
Well, it was a rhetorical question. Don, read the letter out from Miss Horn, her horny, what's her name? The horny,
Melissa horny Hall.
Lizard. Go on.
Melissa Horn.
Melissa
She's
Horn.
The Minister of Public Transport.
Here we go.
I'm going to lose it.
Come on, Robert.
Dear Mr. McCusker. Now, Barney is an activist in Mount Gambier. He's also a surgeon, and he drew my attention to the fact of the bus stopping at Haywood and not continuing to Mount Gambier. So she wrote him a letter. Thank you, Mr. McCusker, for your letter. Barney's written a letter on the 28th of October 2019 about V-Line coach service. I understand your concerns about coach services terminating at Haywood and continuing on to Mount Gambier without passengers. I recognise this could be frustrating for passengers. I note your previous conversation and my replies. Barney is an activist of May and August of this year.
Is that in the letter?
That's in the letter. So Barney's written a couple of times to her and she's responded. She's responded.
Coaches cannot be serious.
What about the crickets, Jack?
They're next.
Go on.
This is like, hey, it's Saturday up in the control booth.
Yeah, and you're like Dickie Knee. Go ahead.
Coaches continue from Haywood without passengers in order to... this is unbelievable. This is like Yes Minister. Listen to this. Coaches continue from Haywood without passengers in order to relocate to Mount Gambier Depot for future services. Really? The cost of this 80K trip, it's a 90K trip from her, the cost of this 90K trip is absorbed by the Department of Transport. Operating the service without passengers would involve additionally ongoing costs. Can you believe this? The bus travels without a passenger on board. It's going to incur more costs. These would need to be weighed against passenger demand to justify extending the service and completing the demands for the service across other regional areas. This is unbelievable. These people are governing our country.
Enough rope, he'll eventually hang himself. Go ahead, Don.
The Andrews government, Mick.
This is why I run the podcast.
Ready? The paragraph.
Come up with the topics, select the guests, and run the whole show.
He's talking to your son.
Oh, that'd be obvious. Yeah, that'd be natural.
The Andrews Labor government recognises the important roles coaches play in the meeting of the needs of people travelling to and from regional Victoria.
Maybe they could get a very fast train, a bullet train that goes 300K up to Mount Gambier for the 8 people who use it a year. That wouldn't be an
added expense. The Department of Transport regularly reviews coaches' services, and I've asked the Department of Transport to consider your feedback as part of reviews and networking programming. When reviewing existing coaching routes or planning new ones, the Department of Transport considers several factors. These, include the likely number of users, suitability of road network, coach operations, and easily understood network and connectivity. To other
You've
public
transport,
it's
into
unbelievable.
The thinking man's Easter rabbit. Now
that
listen
is
to
unbelievable.
Me. Now that is unbelievable that you would go on with that, Don. And Barney McCusker, don't ever speak to him again. And now, did you know Alan Joyce? You know who Alan Joyce is?
Yeah, Coach Hawthorne.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Well, you asked me.
Mr. and Mr. Joyce have made.
Who were Mr. and Mrs. Joyce?
Qantas. He's boss of Qantas.
He is boss of Qantas.
Him and his husband. I don't think his husband is boss of Qantas, but Al is, isn't he?
We've established. Go on.
Someone, now have a listen to this. Someone had stowed one of their, a dog, an animal, not as a companion animal in the plane, but in the cargo hold of a Qantas jet, a dog called Frank, as it turned out. He's na- and the bloke went down to get his pet dog, Frank, and it was dead in the cargo hold, which is, no, which is bad luck. I'm not making fun of that. So he has now asked Qantas, and I presume Mr. Joyce, the two of them, or at the family, at a
Righto. Come on.
At the matrimonial home, they would have chatted about. Come on. He wants, the bloke who owns Frank, he wants Qantas to put on vets to oversee the health of transit dogs and animals. What my question is, where would the vet travel? In the cargo hold? Or how can you keep track of a dog if you're sitting in first class and the dog is in the cargo hold? Where does the vet travel?
Dog might have had a heart attack.
Well, of course it did.
Left in the sun for an hour.
Oh, get a microphone. Will you give this bloke a microphone?
Left in the sun. What, they had the windows of the plane open? On the tarmac. So, and he said he wants vets. I hope Mr.
So how
Joyce,
long was it in the sun for?
The world gets crazy by the day, doesn't it?
Listen, can you give Rod a microphone, please? No. I'm conducting a conversation with
him. So we now, could we stamp out the fact that vets have to travel now on Qantas planes to oversee the health of the animals?
Well, you could if you didn't put animals
in the sun.
In the cargo hold.
I mean, that's common sense.
It wasn't in the cargo hold.
Where was it?
It was on the tarmac.
I'm going to say there wouldn't be sun in the any sun in the cargo hold, would there? Because it's a plane, Mick. It's like
actually,
someone
that's cruelty to the animals, really. Hang on, gentlemen.
Wow, that's a rash statement, Don. Cruelty to animals.
Well, any person,
baking it in the sun.
Any logical thinking person would realise that what they're doing, putting an animal in the sun.
Okay.
Why not in the shade?
Like putting kids and leaving kids in cars and the windows up.
Exactly.
Have either of you watched...
So we don't want vets, do we?
Get me out
of
here.
No, we don't want vets, but they... What?
Get me out of here.
The celebrity show?
The show. I'm a celebrity.
Yeah? Did you see Billy's...
No. What did he do?
I saw it reported in the Herald Sun this morning. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
They did a report.
He said that he was left with no money after the marriage breakdown, couldn't afford a house.
Yeah, it might have been just at a critical time.
What?
He's a very good friend of...
Very good friend of mine. Yeah? Fat, I call him.
Yeah. Is that your recollection of...
No, I would say that would be absolute nonsense.
Why?
Well, that's just off the top of my head.
Well, why?
Where most things come from, yeah.
Yeah, in a nutshell, which is where my brain is. I would say that would be nonsense.
So you reckon it was just said for
publicity? 800 sports nights a year.
Yeah.
Because there's not that many nights in a year. And he does, he's got 42 hotels and he's on television.
So you reckon he made that
up?
He's
on the radio. And I would say possibly he's been a bit hyperbolic, Don. You with me?
No.
Hyperbolic?
No.
So do you think that was contrived?
Exaggerating.
Contrived just to boost the program?
Well, look, call me gullible or call me cynical. I believe so, but he might wax lyrical about, he might have the crocodile tears about how he's been left penniless.
Do you watch that show?
What?
Celebrity?
Well, I don't.
No,
you wouldn't.
I don't.
You would have turned it off.
Well, you know? Is it on the ABC?
Oh, you idiot.
It comes on after Four Corners, doesn't it? I haven't seen it because if I had, I would know that that's what he said.
Yeah.
But I don't... Do you believe that?
Well, it struck me as odd.
All right, so what a very nice, easy way to just to soften it down. So I don't believe... So now this is what we're putting up with in the world. A woman, Don, give us your opinion on this. A woman has sued, this is in Britain, an English mother, took her kids along to see Frozen 2, which I presume has nothing to do with sperm or anything. It's just, I don't know what
it is. This is a film.
Ice.
Film.
Is it?
Well, it could be.
You can freeze your sperm. Have you ever frozen your sperm? You can freeze your sperm, can't you?
You can.
You can put it in a test tube and if you want to... If you want to just try and populate the world with little Micks, Well, he has. Here, take this.
Good one, Don.
Take this tube home and have a crack at it. I would only even have to be in the house. Just tip it in. I'll go back to the sperm bank and get some more. Got a credit card for the sperm bank.
Come on.
So anyhow, this woman is watching Frozen 2 in London Theatre. And she has sued the management, I think I'm making it up, because the woman in front of her had a bun.
A what?
Her hair in a bun. And she couldn't see the screen.
And she sued the cinema. Where do you get this stuff from?
Why didn't she just ask to get another seat?
Of course, or move up the front.
Don't fall into him. He's got to be making this up.
Don, I don't make any of these things up.
Where do you get all this ridiculous stuff from?
Off the wires, off the international news.
Your sources.
Off the what?
Well, no, don't disclose your sources, Mick.
There was pictures of it on the bloody...
What, the bun?
Yeah, there was. A woman took a photograph of the woman sitting in front of her at the theatre... with a bun, and you know, she was down at sort of low, so she made it look worse than it is. But she sued the theatre because she said there must be a policy about hairstyles in the theatre.
Really?
That's like Don going and wearing his hat in there.
Yeah. Well,
and he's got no hair. He got no.
Well, I wouldn't be able to have sitting behind Donald.
Without a hat on? No, just anyhow.
With a hat on.
No, well, you wouldn't wear a hat on. This woman had her hair on. It was part of her body. It was growing into a skull. But she had it in a bun.
How would Brady Grundy be? 6'7", he's got a bun. Would you sit behind him?
Well, a lot of people. No, you wouldn't. No. What about Elena Dockey? Have you seen that ad with Elena Dockey?
Elena, yeah.
I've got to take my hat off to that lady. To do what she, where Your she's come from, where she has come from to where she is now.
Yeah, what she
it's
losing?
Nothing but you just got to admire the girl.
How many kegs did she lose? 35 or
something? I don't know. I haven't gone into that, but I saw the ad. Will you shut up, please? A before and after, and you've just got to take your hat off to that girl.
I agree. Parkinson light and easy, your mate.
Is he really?
Yep. He invited me over for dinner one night. And he opened the fridge. He had 27,000 packets of Light and Easy. I thought he's gone to a lot of trouble.
Yeah, he had some dust in one jar because there's no calories in dust. He had a couple of carrots and half a beetroot in the other. No, you had a good dinner. What did you have? Now, have a listen to this. I was watching a show.
But he's out walking. What?
He asked me a question. That's just
no, it's his show.
Don. I was just about to tell you about chicken and veggies.
Go ahead.
That's what it was, chicken and veggies.
Okay, and now you'll think I'm making this up, Don. Uh-huh. But listen to this. A man was being interviewed. He was being interviewed and the bloke said that is... I don't even know what I'm saying. He said yogurt. He said if it's made out of women's breast milk, it is fattier than any other milk that comes from any other animal. He said yogurt made out of women who express breast milk... and you make yogurt out of it, is fantastic. Would you eat at a restaurant? If you went down to the lobster cave and Bill said, here's a crayfish.
What do you mean it's fantastic? What, the flavour, the nutrient value?
All
what?
That.
What?
Yes,
no,
all
you
that.
Don't know what you're talking about. You just glossed right over this. You said it's fantastic. You don't know
he
what.
He said it's fantastic. I haven't eaten women's breast milk in yogurt. He said, the bloke who... was eating it.
Why are you giving it any credence? He hasn't even told you where it's beneficial.
What is that?
Well,
what was that, Don?
Well, I'm talking about, is it nutritious? Is it flavour?
How the fuck do I know what it is? I'm telling you, a man said the best yogurt
the man?
You
yes.
can... Well, it was. I was watching an interview.
Well, it could be some loony.
It could be, but he said the best yogurt you... He was, I think he was in the Epicurean industry. The best yogurt that he has tasted, I don't know how he would ever...
Who is it? Who's this man?
Was women's breast milk expressed into a jar and then made into yogurt. He said it is very, very tasty because it's nutritious. It's got more fat than any... I'm just telling you. Would you... You went down to the lobster
but some
cave
people
and
eat
Bill
awful.
Bought out.
No.
Bill saw some shaved koala nose that's been poached in with sprats and porpoise innards. And he said, I'll tell you what tops this off is yogurt made out of women's breast milk. Would you have it? Hello?
What is
of course you wouldn't have it. It's like eating humans.
I tell you what, that's nearly as silly as something else I read in the paper today.
Do you think I'm making that up?
No. The Pope defends clerical celibacy. I would have thought there should have been more of it.
Defends clerical celibacy. So he's saying that they should all be celibate.
Mm. Pity they weren't.
Well, instead of tampering around with the young.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, yeah.
You know what, how clerical celibacy came into play?
No. Do you tell me?
No, this. What are you laughing at?
I'm waiting for the answer.
This is really significant. What it was they were able to be married, and then the church was so concerned about losing the property that they'd acquired to the woman who'd been given the flick.
Or man?
No.
Couldn't marry men?
Now, hang on, Mick. They're not marrying the church. They're marrying an individual, a priest. So how would or what right?
But when they broke up,
he could say, you can have
Be quiet. Mick.
My understanding was that about 8 centuries ago, the church changed this rule. There's nothing in the Bible about celibacy. The church changed the rule to say the priest must be celibate to protect their land holdings.
Really?
Mm.
Very interesting. Well, it is interesting. Don't laugh. It is interesting. I think it's an unnatural act. Anyway, celibacy, and why should you demand that of somebody? Why should a religion demand that of somebody?
They don't observe it anyway, so what's it matter?
Well,
you ever thought of going into the church or being a man of the cloth? You?
I went to Sunday school as a youngster.
You could get in the pulpit and give...
How would he be? Oh, with his rousing sermons.
Now listen, all you people who have sinned... You could be, and of course, this begs the question. I know we've said this before, Donald, but do preachers do more than lay people? I know we've said that before.
I don't even know why I laughed at
that. I don't know. Can I tell you?
Are we getting tired, aren't we?
No, I've got two more things.
How long are we gone for?
About Rod 3 weeks.
This is to show you how ahead of the curve I am.
Or
do you remember either in another forum when we used to do this earlier?
With the Beast who's coming back with his own one-man podcast?
Yes, it is.
Did you know that?
You told me he was.
He is. Yeah.
Well, when will that be on, do you think? What is he going to – one man, is he going to just do it all his own?
Well, I would have thought one man with the Beast in it probably means he's going to do it all on his own.
No, Mick. But
wouldn't you?
Is he taking calls or – he's just going to speak for an hour, is he?
Well – I don't know. I just know he's going to do a podcast.
Okay.
Minus the two colleagues he had last year.
In another forum, do you remember I said that when Sisto from Pellegrini's got murdered? Is he murdered? Yes, he died. Do you remember I said they should make a memorial table and so you can go and have a coffee with Sisto? Well, have a guess what the council are going to do. They're going to put a memorial table outside Pellegrini's.
You're ahead of the clock, aren't you?
And he is way ahead, ahead.
Here's another prediction. We have seen the last of fireworks at New Year's Eve in this city.
Why are you saying that?
Because they were a fizzer, no pun intended, last New Year, this New Year.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now going to explore, I believe, lasers and light shows, shining it on buildings. For the ecology, for the expense, for the drama, I think fireworks are a thing of the past.
I'm not unhappy about that.
No, but it's my prediction.
Yeah, but I'm not unhappy about it.
That's sad. I think that.
It's sad, is it?
I think so.
We don't set off $5 million worth of crackers on one night a year.
No, I went to Luna Park with my young granddaughter the other day. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Have years you, ago. Lately?
Not lately.
The attraction. Don't worry about the Big Dipper and the river caves and the ghost train. The attraction is the atrocious-looking people that go to it, the public. They are, you got to go just to see. And I got sucked into the undertow. I'm one of them. They said, look at that deal. You've got to see the people there, not one regular
person. What did you go on? Did you go on any rides?
Yeah, well, when you take a three-year-old...
I was just going to go on and ask, how old was your granddaughter and would she appreciate Luna Park?
Well, I think she was fascinated by people she didn't even know could look like that.
I think it was more for your entertainment.
That's a person who's overweight. She said, look at that. And she said, "What's that?" I said, "That's a man with dreadlocks and tattoos and rings through his nose and buttons in his ear." She'd never seen it.
You're a different persona as a grandfather, aren't you?
My word, I am, yeah.
No, you are. That's a serious observation.
And I went into the canteen there. Here's jobs for the boys and girls. So I go into the canteen and I said, "I want a salad roll." Now, you listen to this, salad roll and a drink. So I paid for the salad roll at the till, and there's the salad roll. Right, it's a foot away from the till. And so she put it up on a board. And I waited for 3 minutes. And I said, "Do you think you'd give me the roll?" She said, "Oh, no, no." She said, "Someone else will come and give you that." So I waited. And so someone came and got it and got a tong out. And I was put my hand out and she took it back out, took it back out into an oven and started to cook it, heat it up. And I said, "Could I have that roll?" She said, "No, your roll has been taken out of the display case and it's in the oven now." I said, "I don't want it heated up. I didn't ask it for it to be heated up." She said, "Cheryl, take it out." So Cheryl took it out and dismantled it and threw it in the bin. And she said, I said, "Now just give me that one there." So she said, "Cheryl." So Cheryl came over and took it out. Instead of giving it to me in the tongs, she took it over to a table where she put it down, and someone else eventually came and wrapped it up and gave it to me. And it was shit house. It was stale. And I thought, I've waited for 12 minutes of my life to get a salad roll from eight people having a hand in
it. Did you say anything to Cheryl?
It's not Cheryl's fault. This is people in. It's just people entering at the base level, the world of commercialism, and the whole thing being run awry.
Well, I could get Barney McCosker to write a letter to management for you.
Oh yeah, that'd be good.
Don, I could have got the train up to Mount Gambier in less time it would have taken to get a roll up there.
But you would have to get off it. Horsham or somewhere, wouldn't you?
Honestly, Luna Park. Are we just done? For fun. Well, I reckon we're done. Got any final announcements to make?
Just give us the crickets, please.
No. Well, this is right. I'm gonna. Did you like me to sing Benny?
No.
And the for
yes.
You? Yeah. I need the words. Oh, no. I'll tell you what. Where or when's a better song? Frank Sinatra.
We've got Daddy Cool on now. Sing with along with Daddy
Cool. I'm hoping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.
You're moping around. Come on, Mick. Here he comes. Look,
I feel like we're doing this from
Raw. All right. Well, thanks. That's it.